Hello and welcome to Focus on Licking County. I'm Buckeye Country. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my broadcast partner Joel Riley and our special guest Chad Brown, Licking County Health Commissioner.
We both had been under the weather. Amazingly, he says, I've never called off for being sick. I said, well, I haven't either, other than when I had the COVID, I couldn't come in. I said, we both were down with this strain of this flu thing. Chad, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, this flu has been, you know, it put me down for the count for sure, and a lot of other folks too. We saw this spike in flu cases, but, you know, nothing too far out of the norm, which was good. We did see an increase in hospitalizations, but, you know, I had my flu vaccine and I still got it, but, you know, luckily I had the vaccine. It could have been worse. So, but yeah, back on the mend now. Can't stress enough, if you feel, you know, like you do have the flu or you're sick, stay home. And good, as always, good hand hygiene will take care of things.
Okay, because I know you're that guy and you are honest to a fault. Would you have gone in if you didn't have a fever? Because I know one day I came in, I didn't feel well, but I didn't have a fever. A wife who's a nurse says, no, you get a fever, you're not going anywhere. Is that, if you got a little cough, do you still go in, or do you use the fever as your threshold?
Yeah, I think the fever is the key, you know.
Yeah.
That you're most contagious at that point because your body's actively fighting off that infection. So, yeah, if you've got a fever, definitely stay home.
Yeah, that's what she told me, and as soon as I eclipsed triple digits, I'm like, all right, I can't. I didn't have a voice anyway, but I would have still tried.
Yeah, and I don't know if you work with anybody like him. I mean, he will drag a bloody stump in because work is the thing. It's like, dude, you're hacking up a lung. Stay home.
I did like how he tried to set me up there saying, hey, even if you're sick, you still go to work, right? Yeah, so yeah, that was nice. Yeah.
Well, that's the health commissioner. With the health commissioner's perspective, pays a lot. I mean, you know, that's people want to know how you live your life.
Right.
But I mean, that's changed so much. I mean, pre-COVID, there were more people that would go to work sick because they felt that allegiance
Absolutely. To
the job. Now, post-COVID, everyone is like, that is so disrespectful to go to work ill.
Yes, and I grew up in a household where you drug a bloody stump to,
yeah.
to work, and that was it.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, that's that guy over here. He's never sick. I don't know what he's doing. He's got the magic elixir at home or something like that. But you do feel bad when you come in and you're like, oh, I'm off a little bit, because then you got everybody else going, I got the sniffles. What's going on? Is Donny in here? That's what you were. But you said at one point, what'd you say, about a third of your staff was off?
Yeah, they were down big time. It went right through the building, and you know, we're no different than anybody else. And you know, my wife's a teacher, so I get it from both ends. Yeah, I'm just constantly bombarded with virus. So, oh.
Yeah, I would think your immune level would be super high.
Hers is.
Yeah.
Like how he said hers.
Yeah.
All right, so what are the symptoms that folks should look for if they're hearing this? And, of course, we're joking, and everybody's all right. But, I mean, it's serious. So, what are some of the symptoms?
You know, with the flu, your symptoms come on quickly. It's a quick onset of symptoms. And a fever is going to be a telltale sign. Especially if it's a quick, high fever, that's what you're going to see associated with the flu. A lot of times with a common cold, you're going to have runny nose and a cough and things like that. But you have that quick onset. And also, I know with this, when I was sick, body aches as well. You know, my joints hurt, everything. You know, so you're going to see that. Those are telltale signs of the flu.
Mm.
And I will say this, and again, I can't speak for you. Man, was I tired.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd sleep, I'd get up, I'd go do something for about an hour or so, look over at the wife and going, I'm going back and laying down.
Right.
I mean, that's how I knew this was not your run-of-the-mill cold or something. You're just like, man, I am always. And then I started to talk to other people and they were saying the same thing. Tom Blind, Newark school board member, mm-hmm. told me the same thing he had. He goes, man, I was in bed all the time.
Yeah, it was a rough one. So
yeah.
There's still time to get your flu shot. We still offer it. And can't stress enough, though, like I said, if you have those symptoms as a fever and things like that, stay home and wash your hands.
Yeah, it seems like you're kind of past, because I mean the holidays are always that time where it seems to spike right after because of all, you know, people traveling and getting together in groups and all that kind of stuff. So have we kind of ridden that wave? Is it kind of starting to wane?
It is, yeah. And we're seeing the typical curve that we see every year where you're right there, the middle or beginning of February, we see the spike, and then we're starting to come off the backside of it now. So
okay.
the data is following the normal trends. It's just sometimes it's a little higher than others.
You hear wives' tales and, you know, oh, you go outside with a wet head, you're going to get a cold and all those things. I mean, you're the health guy. What really bears out?
Yeah, I don't, you know, not that. I don't. My mom plays a doctor. I don't think she's listening, so I can say that. But If I go outside with a wet head, it's not going to attract the flu virus. But you know, it's caused by droplets and transmission from person to person. And but yeah. If your mom says not to go outside with a wet head, I wouldn't. I mean, so I would just do that for safety reasons. So.
But if she said go clean your bedroom, would young Chad say?
Well, young Chad would probably say no first until she gave me the look, then I'd get it.
And there's really not much you can do for the flu once you have it.
Once you've got it, just stay home and talk to your healthcare provider about getting Tamiflu. That could also help you, you know, wane the systems or symptoms a little bit there. But you know, definitely you want to stay away from other folks so they don't get it.
Yeah, that's the key. And he'll tell you, I wasn't here. I took a few days off. I'm like, I can't. There's just no way I'm going in there once it hit 100.
It was very weird.
he was very happy.
It was, and that was what was weird about it. It was just, you know, because it's like, it's just not normal for the newsroom to be quiet. So I don't know. I didn't like it.
He wishes I had it again. He's not,
that is not true.
He's not kidding me.
That is
okay,
not true.
Something else, a different new website. And boy, I was on there over the weekend messing around with it. It looks so much different than the old one.
Yeah. We are thrilled to get that done. The last time we updated the website was right at the beginning of the pandemic. So looking at about almost 6 years when we did it. Work with a local company here in town, the Cherubini Company. They did an outstanding job. Super easy to work with. And, you know, the process was simple. I'm not a web design guy or anything. I could hit publish. And they did a nice job. It literally looks good. We wanted to make it more user-friendly, a little more sleek, a little more modern looking. So I think we accomplished all those goals. We're really happy.
Now, again, you said you could hit publish. I somehow always hit delete and be like, hey, Bree, right, I just blew something off the website. Can you put something back on?
Undo is your friend. Yeah.
That's exactly right. But I mean, you've got all the information folks need on there. You got to, you know, talking about all the different paperwork if you need birth certificates, where you need to go for that. Again, it is one-stop shopping.
Yeah, that's the goal. We're very, very close now to having an online payment option as well for all of our environmental health fees, such as, you know, a food license or a septic permit or things like that. We've done a great job of doing that electronically just over the phone, but now we're real close to getting that done and looking forward to getting that published as well.
It's amazing how stuff has changed. Because I think it came in the mail, my food license for our strawberry festival, our Kiwanis,
yep.
And I would come down to the department and do it, and just, you know, write the check, hello, thank you very much. But I think it did say something, I don't remember what it was, about, you know, soon to be electronic. I'm like, look how things have changed just in the past.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is.
That's a fact.
Past couple of years, it's so much fun. And can you schedule things down there too, Chad? Like if you want to come down for flu immunizations and those kind of things, are you able to do that?
You can.
As well?
You have to create an account on the website. Mm-hmm. You can schedule a water sample right there online as well. And we'll, you know, what's nice is as soon as you schedule it, you're gonna get a confirmation email back. So yeah, it's, you know, we're really trending finally towards, you know, joining the technology wave here. And but yeah, this, you can schedule those appointments online as well.
So when you talk about the, you know, the fresher, sleeker look, mm-hmm. is the information changed? I mean, it just seems like in the last, again, since the COVID, there's a lot of people now that seem to be going away from, you know, doctors and hospitals and all that, more holistic, more, hey, there's this influencer that says if I chew walnuts all day, you know, I won't get cancer. I mean, there's just all these different things that are out there. As a health commissioner, do you have to react to that?
So a lot of times where we'll see that, those types of things is on our Facebook page where, you know, you'll start to get some comments from folks like that. If something's not accurate, you know, we really don't want it on our Facebook page, so we can hide those comments. But yeah, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and, you know, some things work for some folks, other. I'm not a doctor either. So, but, you know, we do keep up with, as things trend, as things change, we update the website constantly.
Yeah, that's so good to hear, because I think, you know, there are a lot of people that are susceptible to, hey, well, that guy's got 100,000 followers,
right.
Or, you know, my brother was just talking about this the other day, and hey, I see it on my feed now, and those kinds of things. It's nice to know there's a clearinghouse where you can, like, hey, is this really legit or not?
Yeah, we, like I said, we keep that up to date as quickly or as much as we can. But as things change, we are definitely updating that information.
That's awesome.
So do you have somebody who just handles social media? Because I know a lot of folks, a lot of businesses now, that's, hey, that's your job. And that's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing, too, with social media. It never turns off.
Yeah, we actually contract that out at this point. We have Kane Learning actually does our social media for us. And, you know, we meet weekly. And, you know, as people comment or things, like, what do we want to say here? And, you know, it is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And, just keeping up. But the key with that is it's so much easier for us to interact with the public now, too, where they can ask us questions, and essentially in real time, we can answer them.
Smoking cessation, this continues to be a big issue. I mean, I know you folks are doing all you can to get people to put those things down. Not only cigarettes, but the vaping. I mean, you continue to see folks calling, asking, what do we do? How can we help?
Yeah, vaping is, the numbers are astronomical here in the county. As we were talking earlier, we're getting ready to, this year we'll publish our community health assessment. And, for years, smoking has been an issue here in our county, but we've really seen that number fall off the table. But now we're seeing the vaping number really start to climb, and we're well above the state average. We do a lot of work with the school districts in the county, and all the school administrators will tell you that vaping's an epidemic, in our school buildings. So we're really, really trying to work on that, and we're trying to get to kids before they start vaping, so that it's much easier to stop you or to prevent you from vaping than to get you to quit. So we're trying to get down. We're down as young as fifth grade, trying to get to the kids before they start.
So do we have any idea what vaping does to the human condition yet? Because, I mean, pretty well documented what smoking does.
Correct.
Cigarettes, cigars, pipes, all that kind of stuff. But the vaping, it seems like, A, it's so readily available. They hardly drive by a block where you don't see a vape store.
That's fact.
And then, all the flavors and all that stuff. But, I mean, just do we know yet what it does?
So I think, there's a lot of science out there that continues to evolve because they're continuing to collect data. But, there are documented cases where folks have issues with young folks have had issues with their lungs as far as, lung capacity, cancers, those types of things. So, but I think also the science on this will continue to evolve. You're going to continue to get, collect data, and, the medical community does have to keep up as we go.
Gotcha.
You said the state average. Do you know the numbers, Chad, off the top of your head? I mean, I'll throw
it is my day off, Dave. So I don't know.
He's texting right now. Hey, somebody there who's right. Oh, that's right. There's nobody there to text.
I got
to
wake everybody up here. Hang on.
But it's high, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's higher than the state average for sure. And again, it's hard to get a true sense of the issue in our schools because, if you ask a sophomore in high school, do you vape? No. Yeah, of course they do, but they're going to say no.
You can ask an adult that, Chad. They're going to tell
exactly.
you no, and then
you're
going to look
right.
over here and do this, and then come right back over to you. I mean, it's so prevalent. And to Joel's point, there seems like there's one everywhere. Do you guys, I know like with restaurants, you can have checks and come in, and you do that with restaurants, smoking, you guys can do that. Is there anything you folks can do on that level where you go in and you check them to make sure they've got the right things in there?
Not yet. I think you'll see something there. The legislature's looking at it. Not yet. We work with the city of Heath on an ordinance, but still some hoops to jump through there as well. Obviously, anything we do, we want to make sure it's legal and that we're abiding by the law. But we can't do anything in a standalone vape store that does not have a food license.
Yeah. And for the school districts, is it just them reaching out to you saying, get in here and just give us some sort of education for these kids, so to speak, that just talk to them? We don't care what it is or who does it, come in and talk to them.
Yeah, and the great thing, we've always had a great relationship with the school districts in the county. I enjoy working with all the superintendents here in the county, and it's a real good partnership where they call and say, hey, is there something you can do? We went out and researched a curriculum and found one. We were able to offset some of that cost with grants, and we're trying to get in every district as we can. So.
Yeah, and it's amazing how you wouldn't think you'd have to get a grant to just go in and talk to a school, but that's where, if you want to do any of these programs, you're going to need the money to do them. So
correct.
It's not like you could just say, hey, we're going to go into a school and start talking about it. You mentioned the community health assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of take us through that, where we're at in that process.
Sure. Yeah, we're required by law to produce a community health assessment every 3 years, but it's one of the core functions of public health, collecting data, analyzing data, and putting it back out. So that's a really, really big document for us, an important document. The last one was published in 23, so we're right on schedule there. But it's just a large collection of data, primary and secondary data from across the county. And it lays out for us, what are the most prominent issues here in the county, but also allows us to find things that are emerging as well. This is the first time we've ever done one when marijuana was legal. So we're adjusting to those new types of data sets. The community health assessment will inform our strategic plan for our department, and that will also inform the community health improvement plan, which the system comes together, and there's 25 agencies or so, and it's a strategic plan for the county on the top public health issues here in the county.
You've been listening to Focus on Licking County on Buckeye Country. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I want to thank my broadcast partner, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Licking County Health Commissioner Chad Brown. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.